was thinking, at some special meeting, and the evangelist got up and talked a little bit before we had our specials, and we were going to sing a song, "Lord, Build Me a Cabin in the Corner of Glory Land," and we thought that was nice, and we were going to do it up just right, and he got up there and he said, "I want a mansion. I don't want no cabin in the corner." So there was some changes in the works along about then. This spoiled it bad. But I'll tell you what, I'd settle for the cabin in the corner. I just want to be there. Just want to experience that presence, that reality. Say, I made it. I'm here.
There is a fountain filled with blood.
Yeah. thank God for modern medicine. And it, that turned out to be rabid. And so I'm going through the series of rabies shots, but apparently they're nothing like they used to be. Because I go in now weekly for a shot in the arm, and it's literally painless. So, but, you know, just appreciate, there's probably umpteen things that happens or doesn't happen to one every day that by the grace of God doesn't, we're all alive. I mean, the kinds of things that I tend to complain about are probably not worth worth complaining about. So, I mean, life for, is a great gift from God, and it's, yes. I guess it's from a modern medicine perspective, there's been twice in my life as well where without antibiotics, I had pneumonia two times, once when I was 10 and once when I was 20, and it, if it wasn't for penicillin, I wouldn't be here, I wouldn't have made it to 40. So I think we have a lot to be grateful for that God happens to have put us in an age where not only, I think we take for granted modern medicine, sometimes we look.
Not just in this day, but in this country, because there's a lot of countries where that medication is not available. And there's a lot of people dying just from some silly infection that some penicillin would take care of.
Yep.
Just some silly bat bite where the medication would take care of.
Yeah. And I hear,
they don't have the ability.
I haven't seen the bill yet, but I hear the medication is so expensive that like the clinic down in Menominee, they keep one dose. There's a shelf life, and then as soon as they had, unfortunately, the receptionist people know me by name now, but the as soon as they found, basically my doctor said, okay, we've got somebody who's going to come in for the series, so go out and order the next seven or whatever they are. But the shelf life and the combination of the serum, so even with a, that's a good point, you know, we're in an incredible country to be able to even afford and even consider doing something like that. So.
I, too, have had a lot of experience with medicine in the not-too-distant past. And just recently, with blood poison, he mentioned take the needle. Well, they put the needle there. The blood poison came here, and it got bad clear down here. I don't know, some of you guys seen it, but it was big, and this under here got baggy. And they started talking about a surgeon. You know what a surgeon does when you have blood poison? He starts cutting something off. And I was fearful of that, but they increased the antibiotics, and they increased the compresses, and we came out of it. There's a point that I want to make when we talk about this. I believe in divine healing. Penicillin, all of these things, and I've used them, and I don't know where my faith was, but it worked. It worked, and I'm well. But long years ago, I had a heart condition very different than that which I treat today, and I was healed like that, in the twinkling of an eye. Through prayer, and I was completely healed, and the effects were gone. I had some stomach trouble. I couldn't eat anything with any acid. Went home and opened up a quart of tomatoes and ate about half of it, and there's nothing worse if you've got an ulcer or an acid problem. My wife said, what are you trying to kill yourself? What are you trying to prove? My wife, my mother said that. I've had a wife a long time, but mother before that. She said, what are you trying to do? And I said, I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm trying to show something. And I was healed completely. So we have a lot of ways to go. And let's not forget to rely on God. He's for real.
Watching the hiding, please. So we really have a lot to be thankful for our freedoms in America. I know some are kind of starting to go and just stand behind the president and in our country in prayer, and we need to keep our freedoms. But I tell you, when you look at those Jews that were hiding in that little closet area, and the panic and the scaredness that was on her face, we have a lot to thank God for. Thank God.
Yep, sure do.
Back in 1979, when I was young and really kind of, I'll just plainly say it, stupid, I was playing on a cliff in Stillwater. And we were playing hide-and-go-seek, and this was above a scrapyard. And right about then, I was going along, and the whole hillside just kind of kicked away. And it just started a big landslide. And it felt like nobody heard it. There was only about four of us out there, and my brother was hiding from me. apparently he didn't hear it either. I slid all the way down to the bottom, and there was a wall, a sheer wall, and it dropped probably 20 feet, and then there was a guy down there working his equipment, running it and stuff, and I was hanging on by a root, and I just started screaming. I never even thought about praying. I never knew nothing about God at that time, but I thank God the day that he was there watching over me, because he had a bigger plan for me. But I'm there hanging, and I'm screaming my lungs out for somebody to help, and I'm looking up. I'm looking anywhere I can, and suddenly this guy turns his equipment off. That is so loud that I don't know how he heard me. He turned it off, and he goes, and he looks at me dangling there, and he goes, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, can you call the police?" And within a matter of minutes, I mean, it seemed like the whole Stillwater town woke right up. "Oh, Rex is in trouble again. Let's go give him a hand." And they lowered a cop down there, and he grabbed a hold of my arm, and he says, "Okay, you're safe. So what are you doing down here?" I said, "I don't know." "Looking for my brother." He looked over the edge. "He ain't down there." I said, "Thank God." So he kind of took me up and it made the papers and everything. But that's not the point. The point is that God was watching out for me. You know. And to this day, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Officer Kalowski. That was his name. But he knows me rather well. He's a really nice guy. He always had a real nice thing for me every time he seen me. I mean, not that it was bad every time. I mean, there was always a good, you know, a good scene when he did see me. Anyway, he did make it to be sheriff.
Was there a high line right close there? Steel towers?
Yeah, I don't remember. It's, if you look, if you go through downtown Stillwater, you see Victorials on the right. The scrapyard used to be right behind there. And the sheer walls where that stairs goes up that mountain, right to the right of that, up the halfway up them stairs is where I was kind of in there.
Can I tell one more story? I was there. Not that time. But I worked for NSP, and we're painting steel highline towers. And something that you try to learn when you paint and do high work, well, it'll pay you 50 cents more than anything else, you know. At that time, I got 2.5, so I got 3. We couldn't get an outage on those steel highline towers, so a bunch of us just goofing around. And I like to slide a rope, you know, just catch your rope between your shoes and overlap one shoe, and you can burn right down the rope. When it starts getting hot, you switch feet, and you burn some more. Well, so I hung this big, long rope down over that hill, and I'm going to see what's down there. I can hear a spring running down there. Well, I had a lot of rope, but when I got down to the knot and the end of the rope, I wasn't at the bottom of the hill yet. And I was a pretty fat man at that time, and I wasn't capable of climbing back up. I stayed for a while, finally slid down until my hands were on the knot. By this time, my hands were burnt real good, and I had to fall. And that sheer cliff, I slid down that wet rock. You know what? I've never tried that. Like you say. And at that time, I was a professing Christian, probably teaching Sunday school, but I never taught anybody to do that.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified.
Mighty God, the God dispatched at Calvary. And during the summers when we were young, we bought the cabin, and he'd do a lot of summer jobs to keep us rolling. Like, he painted bridges one summer, he just did a bunch of stuff. And one summer, you know, driving the Superior on the right-hand side of Highway 2, the grain elevators, you know, those big, tall, they're like giant silos.
Okay.
One summer, he was painting those, and he was like way up at the top on scaffolding, just an awful thing. He doesn't like heights a great deal, but, and it had been hot in Superior for some odd reason, and painting all day long, and he fell asleep on the scaffolding. And God woke him up by using my mom's voice to holler at him. And she said, "Marvin, Marvin, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing?" In my mom's voice. He heard my mom's voice yelling at him and he woke up. And he said,
"That'll do it."
He was